Nerlia wince. She can't look at it. She certainly can't smell it. Like her sisters, it's the little things. Duct tape, pain relievers, the sound of a weed eater, that propel her back to a time and place where their mother did things they swore they'd hold secret forever. Enduring their mother was what bound them together. And while they might have had three different dads, they were always 100% sisters, never half-sisters. Their sisterhood was the one thing the Notic girls could depend on, and really the only thing their mother couldn't take away. It was what propelled them to survive. Part 1. Mother. Shelley. Chapter 1. Some small towns are built on bloody earth and betrayal. Battleground Washington, 12 miles northeast of Vancouver, near the Oregon state line, is one such place. The town is named for an incident involving a standoff between the Klickitat Nation and the U.S. Army. The native people freed themselves from imprisonment in the barracks, but while a surrender was being negotiated, a single shot rang out, killing the Klickitat's chief Umtuk. It's fitting for Michelle, Shelley, Lynn, Watson, Rivardo, Long, Notek's hometown to be known for a major conflict and a false promise. As it turned out, it was pretty much the way Shelley lived her life. For those who lived there in the 1950s, Battleground was quintessential small-town America, with good schools, neighbors who looked out for each other, and a bowling league that kept the pins falling every Friday and Saturday night. Dads worked hard to afford the new car and nice house. Most moms stayed home, taking care of the children, maybe later returning to the workforce, or taking classes at Clark College to continue dreams thwarted by conventions of the day and marriage. If Battleground had a Mr. Big Shot of sorts, it was Shelley's father. At 6'2" tall, with broad shoulders, Les Watson, former Battleground High School track and football star, was a big deal around town. Everyone knew him. He was quick-witted and could pour on the charm, a smooth talker and a master of BS. Handsome, too. All the girls in town thought he was a catch. Not only did he and his mother own and operate a pair of nursing homes, Les also owned the Tiger Bowl, a 10-lane bowling alley complete with a 12-seat snack counter. That was where Laura Stallings worked in 1958. She'd just graduated from Fort Vancouver High School and was selling hamburgers to save money for college. Laura's curly hair was blonde, with a ponytail that swung back and forth as she took orders. With sparkling blue eyes, she was undeniably beautiful. She was also smart. Later, she'd lament that her brain wasn't in full gear when she agreed to date and then eventually marry Les Watson. Les was also 10 years older, though he'd lied and told his teenage bride that he was only 4 years her senior. "I got caught up in all he had going for him," Laura said years later, bemoaning the choice she made. "I fell hook, line, and sinker. He just wasn't a great guy." Laura's jolt into reality came the day after she put her hair up in a French twist, like Tippi Hedren in the Hitchcock classic The Birds, and married Les in a civil ceremony in 1960 in Vancouver, her hometown. Only Laura's family was present, though her parents had been against the marriage. Les had had good reason not to invite his. They knew what was coming. When the phone rang early the next morning, Laura answered. It was Les's first wife on the line, calling from California. "When are you coming to get these damn kids?" Sharon Todd Watson spat into the phone. Laura didn't know what she was talking about. "What?" Les had never mentioned to Laura that he'd promised to raise his children by Sharon, Shelley, Chuck, and Paul Watson. The omission of that little detail was typical of Les, though Laura knew that she'd never be able to fix that, and that her parents' concerns had been justified. After the early morning call, Les told Laura that his ex-wife, Sharon, couldn't raise the kids. She was a depressive and an alcoholic. Laura took a deep breath and agreed. And really, what could she do about it anyway? They were her husband's children, and she knew she would need to buck up,